Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, we're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Acts. We're almost through. In fact, next week we'll end our study. We're seeing really Luke's account, and it covers about the first 30 years of the church. And it basically shows the message being spread from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The first part of the book, when you think about it, the first 12 chapters actually deal, Peter seems to be the central person, and the ministry is primarily to Jewish people. So that's the first 12 chapters. Then as you continue on, in the basically chapters 13 through 28, it deals with Paul. He's the central person, and his ministry is primarily to the Gentiles. Now, he always went to the Jew first, but it seemed to be, as you know, that the Jewish people as a whole would reject, and then Paul would go to the Gentiles, and they would believe in Jesus Christ. Well, we've seen the missionary journeys. We've seen some of his letters aspects. We've seen his defense before the Jews and the Romans. As we look at chapter 28, and we started it last week, we're near the end of the book. We see that Paul has arrived in Rome, and he's going to stand before the Emperor Nero. And as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see that he brings together these Jewish leaders, all of these Jewish leaders, and he proclaims to them two things, about the kingdom and about Jesus. And we'll talk about how that fits together. So as we begin, let me raise some questions for you to think about. First of all, why did Paul call together Jewish leaders? What was the response to Paul's message? And what did Paul do while in prison for 2 years? Because we're going to find the book of Acts is going to end. We'll talk about it next week. But Paul stays in prison in Rome for 2 years. What did he do for that two-year time period? What's going on? We'll see it as we go through some today and, of course, next time. I think one of the greatest things that could ever happen is that God would use any of us to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to somebody else. I mean, one of the greatest joys is to see somebody trust Christ, and we get to share the message, and that's one of the things we do. I know it's scary. We cannot control how they respond. We can talk to anyone, and we can tell them about Jesus and how he died and rose again, and they can trust in him and have eternal life, and we can't control their response. We can be faithful to proclaim it, but we can't control whether they're going to believe or reject. Well, this morning, Paul, in Acts 28, brings the Jews together, all these Jewish, pretty important Jewish leaders in Rome, and he proclaims to them about Christ, and it says, and some were persuaded. They were believing. They're going, Jesus is the Messiah, and many rejected. And so, you know, in that sense, Paul couldn't control that. Paul went back to the law, the prophets, the Bible, basically what they would have. They call that the Tanakh, which is, we'd call it the Old Testament, and some believed and some didn't. And we realize this happens when we share our faith, and we shouldn't get too discouraged. The goal is to share our faith. And sometimes, the greatest thing of all, people will put their faith in Christ, and sometimes they won't, but we want to be faithful to proclaim. Let's remember where we are. Paul has arrived in Rome. Now, he was in Jerusalem. He got arrested. Jewish people tried to kill him. Romans came in and basically arrested him. And when they found out what was going on, they actually said, let's let Paul go, but the Jewish people caused so much problem. Finally, the Romans said, well, you want to go back to the Jews? And Paul said, no, I'm appealing to Caesar. Since Paul was a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar, and so they said, okay, we'll take you to Rome. Well, he got on a ship, and we saw it last couple of weeks. They got on the ship, and then they switched ships, and then they got in a storm, and they got lost at sea. For 14 days, they were just wandering around, and the ship was about to tear up, and they ended up hitting on an island. An angel had come to Paul and said, don't worry about it. Every person's going to be safe. You're going to hit on an island. You're going to eventually get to Rome. However, you will lose the ship, and sure enough, that happened. They hit the island. The ship tore to pieces. The island was called Malta. They stayed there for about 3 months, and Paul ministered to the people. In fact, he healed people, and it was a great, great ministry. Last time we saw, after being on the island, they got on another ship, and they came to Rome. And let me give you sort of the outline for this morning, what we're going to see. We're going to see he meets the Jews. He gives them information, and they reply to him. And then we see him actually teaching and their response, and then the summary. And we'll see, we won't really get the summary till next time. But I just want you to see that. Look at verse 11. I just want to remind you of where we are. Verse 11 of Acts 28 says, at the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island. The island's called Malta, and which had the twin brethren of its figurehead. Some Greek gods were on the front of that ship. And so after 3 months on the island, they get on the ship and they're heading to Rome. God did something amazing for Paul. He's been lost at sea. It's been a long time. He's now coming to Rome, and as they get closer to the city, the believers in Rome, who Paul had already written a letter to them, he had already written the letter to what we call the letter to the Romans, they hear that he's coming, and they come 30 and 50 miles outside the city to meet him. Look at verse 15. And the brethren, when they heard about us, they came from there as far as the market of Appius and three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. You know, we talked about this last week, that we're here for each other. That as a body of believers, there's so many things that go on in our lives. And if we said to each one of you, I would like each one of you to come up, stand right here, and tell us some of the stuff that's going on in your life. Every one of us would have some stuff. And we'd say, well, you know, I just went to the doctor and this, or I just had this. And, you know, we need each other. And I think about it, when we think about what's going on in our lives, there's some things we could do. We need to build up one another. We talked about it last week. We need to encourage one another and lift up one another, because in this fallen world, I mean, everything's pulling us down. We need to be there to build each other up. Then we need to serve one another. In fact, the Bible says, take the spiritual gifts that we have and serve one another in love. We need to look around our room and say, how in the world can we touch the other people in here? How can we help them? And then we can also use our gifts and talents to equip one another using the Word of God so that we can grow. And that's one of the reasons we teach the Bible on Sunday morning, and we have SBI, the Bible Institute, and we have Sunday school. We have Bible studies during the week. That's the reason that the college meet. That's the reason the youth meet. The bottom line is that we want to train one another to do ministry so we can all be used. And also, Paul thanks God and was encouraged by these people. And we should thank God and encourage one another as well. Well, what happens when they get to Rome? Look at verse 16. When we entered Rome, Paul, and the person who we is Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. He's with Paul, and so he's writing it in first person. When we, Luke, Paul, and the others, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. Now, we're going to talk more about this, but Paul stayed in what they called a rented home. And so for 2 years, he's not in a dungeon prison. He's in a house. People can come see him. But the best that we can understand, he is guarded by Roman soldiers. They call the Praetorium Guard. They were the soldiers that served where Nero was. And the best we can understand, they may have been chained to Paul, or Paul was chained to them. You can imagine, for 2 years, different soldiers coming in being chained to Paul. What do you think he's going to talk about? He's going to say, I'm glad you're here. Listen, I've got to talk to you about Jesus. And it says in the book of Philippians that a great number of Praetorium guards had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So, you know, somebody could say, well, why was Paul in prison for 2 years? Why didn't he just go in 1 month later, go see the emperor? Well, over that 2 year time period, Paul was used by God to do a lot of things. He wrote 4 more books of the Bible, and he also led a number of people to Christ. Well, let's see what's going to happen. He's been there. He's going to be there for about 2 years, but he hadn't been there but very long, maybe 3 or 4 days. And here's what he decides to do. He's going to call for the Jewish leaders, and he's going to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. So look at verse 17. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, Brethren, though I've done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now here's what he's going to do. He's going to explain why he's there. He's saying, I'm innocent. Even though I'm a prisoner and I'm in Rome and all that, I haven't done anything wrong. And then second, he wants the opportunity to give them his message. And we'd say it's the salvation message. He says, this is the best opportunity ever. I'm going to call the Jews in and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And so that's the plan. So let's start first. He explains, number one, why he's there. He is innocent. Look again at verse 17. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, Brethren, I have done nothing wrong. Though I've done nothing wrong against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. He goes back and says, I was in Jerusalem and a big riot happened. He doesn't go into the details. A big riot happened. They tried to kill me. The Romans came in and arrested me. And the Romans didn't even know who I was, but I ended up being a prisoner of the Romans. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, what he's saying is, look, I'm a good Jew. I haven't done anything against the fathers. I haven't done anything against the customs of our people. He was delivered into the hands of the Romans. Then in verse 18, he says, And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. When the Romans actually looked at Paul, they began to say things like, this man's done nothing wrong. We don't even know why he's arrested. He's done nothing wrong. And so they were about to let him go, but notice, but when the Jews objected, verse 19, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I have any accusation against my own nation. He said, listen, when I was about to be let go, the Jews caused so much problems that they said, in fact, the Romans actually said, you want to go back to Jerusalem and stand before the Jews? And Paul said, no, I'm a Roman citizen, I appeal to Caesar. And that's what's going to happen. And so he said, I appeal to Caesar. And he said, oh, by the way, I don't have anything against the Jews. Let me show you something. He appealed to Caesar. When you think of Nero, what do you think of him? We all know when you say Nero, you say, oh, he was evil. In fact, most of the emperors of Rome, especially during this time, were evil people. But do you picture him as an old man? Do you know that Nero became the emperor at age 17? And when Paul stood before him, he was no older than 25 years old. So you've got this man named Nero who is the head of the Roman Empire, which is the most powerful nation in the world, and he's 25 years old. And here's Paul in his 60s, who's been all over the world, who is a champion for Jesus Christ, who is standing for the Lord, and Paul is going to be judged by this man? Now, you know about Nero. You know what he was like. He became the emperor in AD 54, and he's probably 25, 26 years old. He was known as a cruel man. In 64 AD, while he's still the emperor, a large part of Rome, the city, caught on fire. Many believe that Nero set it on fire, but when there was backlash, he blamed the Christians. Nero said the Christians set the city on fire, and they began to arrest the Christians. And this is the time around 64, 65, 66 when the great persecution broke out. And you've read the stories of how they took Christians and they put them on poles and they set them on fire and they put them in the gladiator place where the animals came and ate them. That happened because Nero said the Christians set the city on fire, and people got all upset, and many people who believed in Jesus Christ were put to death under this man. This is the man that Paul's going to stand before. But let me say this to you. We already saw it. We're not going to find out biblically, because the Bible doesn't record Paul standing before Nero. But Paul, we've already seen Paul stand before other rulers. And when Paul stands before other rulers, the rulers are on trial, not Paul. Because Paul knows what he believes, and he stands for Jesus Christ. Paul says, I just want to make it very clear, there's nothing against my nation. Now, here it is. He wants, the second thing, he wants the opportunity to give them the message, his salvation message. Look at verse 20. He says, for this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and to speak with you, for I am wearing this chain. He's saying, I'm a prisoner for the sake of the hope of Israel. Now, what he's really saying is the hope of Israel is the Messiah. He says, the reason I'm in prison is because I'm standing for the truth of the Messiah of Israel. Now, I want you to think about something. If you're Jewish, if you were Jewish at this time, what have you always waited for all your life? You have heard of a Savior that's going to come. You've heard of a Messiah. You've seen from Isaiah and those other books and all of the promises that a Messiah is coming. Now, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he came and he died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, but most of the Jewish people as a whole rejected him and missed him. So Paul is actually telling these Jewish leaders, the reason I'm in prison is because of the hope of Israel. I'm in prison because I'm standing for the Messiah. He wants to give the opportunity to say to them, let me tell you about our Messiah. That's what he wants to do. The promise to the nation of Israel would be a Savior, would be a Messiah, would be a King. And the next line, look at what Paul wants to do. Paul says that the Savior and the Messiah is Jesus. That's what he's going to tell them. Now, he's not telling them right here, but he's going to tell them later. He wants them to know. Listen, have you ever talked to Jewish people about Jesus Christ? I have a number of times. I'm going to tell you a story toward the end about a lady that I talked to. And I had a friend. His name was Abishai ben Purai. He was from Israel. He came to Mississippi State when I was coaching there. And I got to meet him and his wife. And I went to their house and they fed me. And he was a great guy. He flew in the 67 war. And I mean, he was a great guy. But his wife looked at me and said, would you mind telling me about Jesus? And I said, yes. And he took a newspaper and went like this. And he pretended he never listened. Some people are what? Open. Some people are not open. So Paul says, I want to tell my fellow Jews about Jesus, the Messiah. That's his plan. When you think about Jewish people, what have they given us? You know, when you think about the Bible, the whole Bible, look at this. Three things. The covenants. The Abrahamic covenant is the basis for the whole rest of the scripture, by the way, in Genesis 12. That's the basis for the rest of the scripture, that God gave the covenants to the Jews. He gave the word of God to the Jews. He gave the Messiah to the Jewish people. I don't know, you're watching TV now? What's going on? There's a war going on, and Israel, the Jewish people, are fighting a terrorist organization who are trying to kill them. You know who I'm for? Take a guess. I love the Jewish people. I had a lady named Miss Pfefferman. I'm going to talk about her later on, but she said to me, because I told her I love Jewish people, she said, why do you like Jewish people? I said, because my Savior is Jewish. Is that not true? Wow. Paul says, I'm in chains because of the hope of Israel. Look what they said, verse 21. They said to him, we've neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. Now that seems strange, because Paul was hated. He'd gone all over the world, and it seemed like that most Jewish people hated him. But these Jewish leaders said, we hadn't heard anything. Nobody sent any messages from Judea. Nobody's told us anything bad about you. But notice the next verse. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For concerning this sect, that's Christianity, this sect, it is spoken to us, it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere. Now, they called Christianity the sect. Now, if you lived at that time, the Romans thought Jews and Christians, they thought it was all the same. The Jews knew that Christianity wasn't the same. That the Jews would say that this is a sect, this is a different group, because these people are saying Jesus is the Messiah. The Jewish people as a whole were saying Jesus wasn't the Messiah. This group sometimes were called a sect, sometimes they were called the Way, sometimes they were called the follower of the Nazarene, sometimes they were called Christians. At Antioch, they were first called Christians. That's us. So these Jewish people look at Paul and says, well, we're glad you're here, because we'd like to hear about this sect, because everywhere it is spoken against. There are a lot of Christians in Rome at this time. This message was spoken against. When you stand for Jesus Christ in this community, especially on the campus, you'll be going against the culture. And when you stand for Jesus Christ, there'll be people who will be against you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will what? They will hate you. The truth of Jesus Christ is contrary to the world. Men say, try to do good. The Bible says, you're not good. You need a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ. In fact, when we stand for Christ, there's going to be two. When we stand for Christ and we present the message that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, when we present that message, there are going to be two groups against us, okay? One is the unbelievers who say, I don't believe that. There'll be believers who say, you got a wrong message. There's more to it than faith in Christ. So you've got two groups that'll be against you. Look what happened. Now, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. Now, just at the last of the verse, Paul didn't speak to them for 15 minutes. Paul didn't speak to them for an hour. Paul talked to them all day long about Christ, about Jesus. They came to the house, and I want you to notice that he started off, he's explaining, this is his plan. They came to him at his lodging, and he was explaining to them. Now, explaining, we got to know the truth about Jesus Christ and God's word so we can proclaim and explain it to other people. I mean, what if somebody were to say to you, could you tell me what you believe about how to have salvation or to get to be with God? Could you explain to them the truths of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what Paul says. They set a day for him. He was explaining to them. And when he did it two ways. I want you to see this. By testifying and persuading. Notice what it says. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at the lodging in large numbers. He was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. So by testifying and persuading, I want you to notice this. The next slide, I think. Go back. Let me just go back one. Is there not a slide after that says something about the kingdom? What's the next slide? Is it a chart? Or is it there it is. Well, I don't know. I've got a, I'm missing a slide. But anyway, go ahead and show the chart. When he's explaining to them about the kingdom, you understand, for every Jewish person, they don't say, are you going to heaven? They don't think heaven. For a Jewish person, they're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for the king. They're looking for the Messiah. They're looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And for Jewish people all the way up until Jesus Christ, they're looking forward to the one who's going to come and rule and reign in righteousness and justice, the 1,000-year reign, which is called the kingdom. David was promised, King David was promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, his greater son would rule the throne of Israel forever. So when you talk to Jews, it's not about, am I going to go to heaven? It's, will I be in the kingdom? When Jesus is on the earth and he's talking to the Jewish people, he's talking about the kingdom, and there'll be Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and people sitting around in the kingdom at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so he's explaining to them about the kingdom. But there's more. He said he was testifying them about the kingdom of God and then trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. And they were trying to talk about, and I think the next slide talks about persuading, trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. But the word persuade doesn't mean Jesus said something like this. I mean, Paul said something like this. Look, Jesus is a Savior. If you want to believe it, fine. If you don't want to believe it, fine. That's not what this word means. This word means, listen, I beg of you, you need to look at this. He's the Savior. Look what the law of Moses says. Look what the prophets say. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. And when we talk to people, it's not a take it or leave it. Eh, you know, if you want to believe this, fine. You don't want to believe it, fine. Listen, we're talking about life or death. We're talking about eternal life. We want people to know and understand who Jesus Christ is. Look what this says. It says that he was trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Let me ask you a question. What if you only had the Old Testament and you were going to tell somebody about Jesus? I mean, see, we go, well, let me show you what Romans says. Let me show you what Corinthians says. Let me show you what the Gospel of John says. But what if you didn't have any of those? What if you only had what is called the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nebuim, the Ketuvim, the Law, the Writings, and the Prophets, the Old Testament? And by the way, if you talk to a Jewish person, don't say Old Testament, because they don't believe there's a New Testament. So just say Tanakh. That's their Bible. Look what Paul, where would Paul have gone? Let me show you something. Think about this. He would have gone to Isaiah 7:14 to give the prophecy that a virgin would give forth a son. And then he would say that Jesus was born of a virgin. He would go to Micah 5:2 and say that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem and that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He would go to Isaiah 9:6 and say that this son is God, and he would say that Jesus is God. He would go to 2 Samuel 7:12 through 17 and say that the seed of David will be the king and that Jesus was a descendant of David. He would talk about Isaiah 40 verse 3 and talk about there's a forerunner coming that Isaiah said, and that forerunner was John, and go on. And then he would talk about the signs and miracles that would be seen in Isaiah 53 and the suffering, and he would talk about that. And then he would show the suffering and dying from Isaiah 53. He would show Psalm 22 that the Messiah would be crucified, and he would talk about Jesus being crucified. And then he would go to Psalm 16 and talk about the resurrection, and he would say Jesus rose. He would use those passages to show the truth. Now, I have to tell you the story. I was flying, when I was in seminary, I was flying back and forth from Dallas to Amarillo. And I was flying, I was going to Amarillo, and I was sitting there, and I was taking Hebrew in seminary, and I was looking at Hebrew, and we were studying the book of Ruth. And so I had it all Hebrew, and I'm trying to read it, and I'm looking at it, and I think I got part of it. And this lady was sitting right next to me, and she said, is that Hebrew? I went, yes, ma'am, that's Hebrew. She said, you know Hebrew? I said, I don't know it very well. And she said, I'm Jewish. I said, oh, I love Jewish people. That's when she said, why do you love Jewish people? I said, because my Savior's Jewish. And she said, I'm Mrs. Pepperman. And I said, hey, Mrs. Pepperman, I'm JB. And she said, I own a number of cowboy and Western clothing stores in Amarillo. And I said, I'll go there sometime. And then we started talking. And I told her about Jesus. And here's what she said. I wish I could believe and have faith like you. And I said, Miss Pepperman, you can. And then I said, would you be willing to look at the Tanakh, going through and seeing if the promises about the Messiah, see if Jesus fulfilled those promises? And she said, no. And I said, Miss Pfefferman, how will you ever know if Jesus is the right one if you don't check it out? And she said, I can't do that. And then she cried. And she said, I just wish I could have faith like you. And I said, Miss Pfefferman, you can't. But she said, I will not look at it. Breaks my heart. Paul is saying to those Jewish people, okay, look over here at Isaiah. Look over here at this. Look, he's going right through the passages. Now, let me tell you something. We need to be able to do this. Next slide. We need to be able to tell people what we believe about the Bible and what we believe about Jesus and what we believe about salvation. We need to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Well, watch what happened. Verse 24. Some were being persuaded by these things, but others would not believe. Some were being persuaded. That means they were believing. They were going, wow. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And they were believing him. But others, what? Would not believe. And that's the truth. When we present the message, sometimes people will believe and sometimes people will not. We want to tell them that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. And if you'll trust in him, you'll have eternal life. And what we hope is that they will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Notice what happened. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. So they were disagreeing, and Paul said, I've got one final thing to say. I'm going to quote the book of Isaiah. And he says, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, and look what he said, go to this people and say, this people's the Jews, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you're not going to understand. You will keep on seeing, but you're not going to perceive. For the heart of the people have become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Why? Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand in their heart, and return, and I would heal them. This is Isaiah chapter 6. This is Isaiah giving a message to the Jewish people right before they're going into captivity, and he's saying, you need to listen to me, and the people aren't listening, and he says, these people aren't listening. Paul takes the same passage and says, just like they didn't listen back then, you're not listening now. And to realize that the Jewish people didn't listen. They didn't listen. They weren't opening their eyes to Jesus. Let me show you something. Look at this verse. Romans 9:33 says, God puts the rock down there, and the rock, which is Jesus, they stumble over the rock. Look at this next verse. Paul writes to the Romans, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Here's the mystery. Lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Now, let me tell you something. This is going to sound weird to you. The nation of Israel as a whole missed the Messiah when he came. God is now using the church, the body of Christ, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus. But as a whole, Jewish people do not believe in Jesus. Paul said a partial hardening has come upon the nation of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. Until the time of the church is over. Let me put this, I know this, if you can put the chart back up again just real quickly, I want to show you something. When Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, on the day of Pentecost, a new group was formed, made up of Jews and Gentiles together. We call the church, which is the body of Christ, which is us. All of us who have trusted in Christ, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, you become the church. And God is using the church until he takes us out. The nation of Israel, which were God's chosen people, always have God's chosen people and always will be God's chosen people. A partial hardening has come upon the nation until God is through with us. And when he takes us out, there's going to be a time period called the tribulation. During that tribulation, the nation of Israel, if you read the book of Revelation and you read Matthew and some other places, you're going to see that the nation of Israel during the tribulation the partial hardening will be lifted, and the nation of Israel as a whole will believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah. It starts in Revelation chapter 7, where 144,000 Jewish people trust in Christ, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, and it spreads all over. And at the very end, the nation of Israel believes in the Messiah, and they call upon the name of the Lord. That's Romans 10. And Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and delivers his people, Israel. That's going to happen. Paul says in Romans that a partial hardening has come. Paul says in the book of Acts, he says, you can say to the people that Isaiah said is going to happen, that you're going to talk to them, but they won't hear you. You're going to show them and they won't listen. He says, they just won't. And then look at verse 28. Because, well, I think, let me show you one other thing. What's the next slide? He's going to go to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would believe. Let me ask you something. Any of you in this room Jewish who's trusted in Christ as Savior? This room is mostly what? Gentiles. Look, I've got some friends that are Jewish that are Christians. They've trusted in Christ. They call themselves completed Jews. And there are a lot of ministries out there. Israel My Glory, the Chosen Jew, the Christian Jew Foundation. And there are a number of Jewish ministries that are people who are Christians, who are Jews, and they're trying to spread the message to fellow Jews. But as a whole, at this time, who believes in the Messiah? As a whole, Gentiles. That's what Paul says. Verse 28, let this be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to who? To the Gentiles, they will also listen. The message is going to the Gentiles. Look at the next slide. Psalm 67, 2 says, that your way would be known among the earth, thy salvation among all what? All nations. The Gentiles would trust in the Messiah. Aren't you glad that the message went to the Gentiles? That's us. Now, I love Jewish people. I love them. And I want all of them to trust in Christ. But as a nation, that doesn't mean individual Jewish people can't trust Christ. Many of them trust Christ every day. As a people group, the partial hardening will be lifted during the tribulation. And then the whole nation as a whole is going to turn to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He says right here, therefore be it known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And then look what happens. Then after they had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And so we got a couple of questions. How long was Paul in Rome? 2 years. What happened when he stood before the emperor? Let me tell you, the best we can tell, and we're going to go more detail next week. The best we can tell, he stood before the emperor Nero and was released and free. And he went out and traveled again, went on some more journeys, wrote some more letters, got put in prison again, and then they cut his head off. Same emperor. First time, Nero said, you may go. Second time, they killed him. What have we seen? Paul calls the Jews to talk to him. He wants them to know why he's there. He wants them to know about the message. They come together. He talks from the morning to the evening, trying to persuade them about Jesus and to teach to them about the kingdom and how everything fits together. And some were persuaded, and some would not believe. And so Paul says, listen, I understand as y'all are leaving, I know you're mad. Some of you are mad, but just remember, seeing you won't see and hearing you won't hear. Your hearts have become dull. But the Gentiles are going to listen. Do you think those Roman soldiers were Jewish or Gentile? They're all Gentiles. Let me give you some applications. Be ready to share with others the message of salvation found in Jesus Christ. We got to be ready. And let me tell you some things to think about. First of all, know the gospel and the ways to present the message. Listen, we've got several courses that do that. If you haven't take the 412, which it's offered this semester, you can take it. It teaches you how to do that. The class that I'm going to teach, the one becoming a disciple maker, we're going to talk in really detail about how to share your faith and some methods and those kind of things. So know it. If you said right now, I don't feel confident in sharing my faith, then either get with me individually and I'll teach you, or take the 412 or take the becoming a disciple maker. Either one of those will train you this fall. Okay? Look for the opportunities. Pray. Okay, number two, be able to go to the Word of God to show what we believe and why. We need to have a basic understanding of what we believe. That's one reason we talk about the 2-2 class, because that's the key. The Word of God is the basis for what we know and our authority. We need to know about, and I got three things here, we need to know about the Bible and salvation and Jesus Christ. If you take those three areas and you know what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about salvation, and what you believe about Jesus Christ, you can do that. And then see, realize that some will believe and some will reject. And it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart when you tell somebody, or you want to tell somebody, and they either won't listen, or they listen to you and they say, I just don't believe that. But persuade them. Don't say, well, take it or leave it. No, say, listen, I beg of you, as Paul said, be reconciled to God. That's the key. We, the body of Christ, the church, both made up of Jews and Gentiles in one body, we have the privilege and responsibility of proclaiming the message. May we be faithful to proclaim the truths of salvation, go into the Word of God, and knowing that some will believe and some won't. Let's pray.